for listening to the Rivers Podcast. For more information on this teaching, visit our website at theriver.info.
You to fulfill his promises on planet Earth. You. So turn to your neighbor and with your friendly finger, where do you keep your driving finger? Keep that driving finger in the pocket, especially with the floods. I know it's tempting. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're the one. No, I didn't say, you're the one. I said, you're the one. Turn to somebody and pretend you're on stage for a minute and you want to have people stay engaged with the teaching and yell at them in a very friendly yell, not an angry yell, a friendly yell, and say, you're the one. Tell them, you're the one God is using. No, you lost a little steam. Help one more time. This is the last time we're going to do it, I promise. I know you're sick of this. You're the one God is using. Like John, who fulfilled the promises on planet Earth, you're the ones that God wants to use to fulfill his promises on planet Earth. And I'm telling you, there are people in your life who need the promises of God to come true for them. There are people in your world, in your sphere, at your work, at your school, in your neighborhood, in your family, who need God's promises, the promises that he'll never leave us, or never fail us, we sang, and that he's good. They need to know that from you. The reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel. Then John the Baptist gave this testimony. I saw the Spirit come down. Somebody say, Spirit come down. I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove. As a dove. And remain on him. And I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me. So the Spirit came down like a what? Do you know what it sounds like when doves cry? So that's the second thing that I said that didn't go according to plan. How many of you have any idea what that referenced? Does anybody under the age of 30 know what that reference is? Prince, when doves cry. See, when we became Americans, when we were born into something that was different than those people. I've already alluded to it. We are very literal people. Although, sometimes we break out of that. These people were very symbolic people. And although by nature we're very literal, there are times when symbols rise up and we absolutely just get it. How many of you have loved watching the Olympics and some good old American you've never heard of, never will hear again, just picks up the flag because they won the gold medal and there's something goosebumpy that rises in you. There's something powerful about the symbol of the flag. Every Hebrew person who would hear that the Spirit came down like a dove would instantly remember the powerful symbol of what the dove stood for. Does anybody know? You might be able to guess this. The first time doves played a prominent role in a biblical story? Noah, anybody? What? Flood. It's kind of appropriate today as you've driven to work, right? How many of you were driving to work today releasing doves hoping that they would find dry ground? Doves, symbol. This is Genesis 8, verse 11. See, Noah had been on that boat for so long, the rains had come, the floods were there, and he's wondering if it ever would end. He was wondering if these dark, stormy days would ever end. And so he opened the window and he let a dove go. And the dove returned, and when the dove returned, Genesis 8, 11, when the dove returned to him in the evening, there in its beak, was a freshly plucked olive leaf. Then Noah knew. Sometimes it's nice to know, isn't it? In the midst of the storms of life, even though the storms aren't over, sometimes it's nice just to know that there's something coming. And sometimes when you just know, like Noah knew, you can't help yourself but go, I know. It's going to be all right. Then Noah knew that the water had receded from the earth. You see, the dove at its first prominent place in the scriptures. The dove represented two things. The dove represented life after death, life in the midst of death, and the promise of God's blessing. Every Hebrew person, when they heard some rabbi teaching about doves, they would instantly think, yes, promise of life and the promise of blessing. And so when John the disciple records that John the Baptist said, I saw the Spirit coming down on Jesus like a dove, he is saying that when Jesus began his public life, he became the fulfillment of all such things, that Jesus himself embodied life and blessing. Jesus, life, blessing. Woo! Jesus, not your hard work, but Jesus, life and blessing. In spite of our shortcomings and our stupidities and our failings, Jesus, life and blessing. Jesus. I love when you people clap. And I love all y'all, but I wish sometimes you'd just clap a little more because life's funner when we clap. So if you're really opposed to clapping, that's totally fine, right? We have freedom in worship here. But if you're nervous about clapping and others clap, just follow the lead and no one will know you're nervous. Jesus, when the dove came on him, the Spirit came on him like a dove, the Spirit and the Son met on planet Earth. And when the Spirit and the Son met on planet Earth, life and promise was fulfilled and thus available to everybody forthcoming. Everybody. There you go. Jesus went on, and we'll see this as we go through the book of John, to do many miraculous and powerful things. And I present to you that it's because the Spirit of God came on Jesus. Had this moment not been, Jesus might have just been another good guy. But when the Son met the Spirit on planet Earth, heaven invaded Earth, and the power of heaven began to happen. And then he goes on. John the Baptist says, as recorded by John the disciple, the man on whom you see the Spirit come, that's Jesus, and remain, he's the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. Somebody say, baptize with the Holy Spirit. Baptize with the Holy Spirit. I've seen and testified that this is God's chosen one. So Jesus will baptize with the Holy Spirit. So Jesus will baptize with the Holy Spirit. It's kind of like when you got a bucket full of goodness that causes children to lose their mind. Yeah, I could do a couple things with this. I could keep it to myself. Or I could enact the verb to baptize. Hey, Bobby, are you ready? Help Bobby get some of this. I missed. There's more. Now, our buddy Billy's gone. His mom's in California celebrating her birthday, but if he was here, I'd try throwing it in the back. You see, I could keep this. Or I could share it. Now, which is more fun for you, to sit there and watch me eat it? Heads up. Or for me to share it? Don't you leave your spots this time. Which is more fun? I mean, it was kind of chaotic right up here. But let's be honest, we all kind of had fun watching the kids get happy, didn't we? I could keep it to myself, or I could share it. I could keep it to myself, or I could share it. Now let's just be clear, which one's better? And which one, let's just be clear, what's better, floor or balcony right now? Sorry, balcony. Well, that didn't work. Which is better? I'm asking you, keep it or share it? So when Jesus had the Spirit come on him, he had a bucket filled of goodness. And he had a bucket filled with power. I love it when you guys fight in church over candy. It makes me happy. He had a bucket filled with goodness. The Spirit came on him, and he was filled. And we know by the rest of the Gospels that Jesus did some awesome things. But he didn't keep it to himself. He shared it. And the Baptist says, as recorded by the disciple, that Jesus will baptize with the Holy Spirit, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for everybody who follows Jesus. So if you can think it through, Jesus was given a source of power. He shared it by baptizing his disciples with the Holy Spirit. Thus, they had the power. We see this in the book of Acts, the first chapter. Jesus was dead. He came back to life, and he's chilling with his disciples in Jerusalem, and he's saying, now, hang on, wait. I'm going to leave, but wait, I'm going to send you the Spirit. And so they waited, and they waited, and then after waiting, the Spirit came down upon them and empowered these uneducated, religiously rejected, stood up and went into the world and changed the face of planet Earth. It's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, it brings power. And I wonder if any of you who are actually still paying attention to me, when I said the Holy Spirit brings power, I wonder if you're astute enough and honest enough to say, well, I don't see it. I don't see the power in my life. That's my fault. Have you ever wondered, how come there was power in the Scriptures, but there's not power to me? Okay, that's good. No more throwing the candy. Have you ever wondered, why was there power in the Spirit there, but not here? Well, maybe you have seen power, and you've just not recognized it. How many of you once were really grumpy people? And I'm not talking still in the mornings before coffee and all that stuff, right? But now you find yourself to be a little less grumpy. How many of you were kind of mean and would regularly make use of your driving finger? But today you do it a little bit less. How many of you once were this unsavory thing, but now you're more of this savory thing? I tell you, that's the power of the Spirit within you. You see, the Bible tells us this. Because you are sons and daughters of the Lord, God has sent forth his Spirit of his Son into your hearts. If you've said yes to Jesus, to walk with him, the Spirit of God came in that moment. Don't you know that you are a temple of the Holy Spirit and he dwells in you? I propose that the Spirit has been working you since the day you became a follower of Jesus. It's called the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Now, none of you live these fully perfectly, but I'm telling you, you live these way more than you did before you were a follower of Jesus. Baptism of the Spirit. What about the gifts of the Spirit? You each have been given a thing that sometimes you can't help but do it. I just got to do that thing. Maybe it's hospitality. How many of you just feel, I got to have my neighbors over. I got to bring them cookies when they get here. I got to provide a safe place for people. I've got to teach something to these youngsters. Some of you have been given a gift to bring the kingdom. I propose to you that is the Spirit within you. How many of you feel the urge just to pray for people at the weirdest times? It's because it's the Spirit in you. I propose that the Spirit of power lives in you. Do you know what the Spirit did when the Spirit came to planet Earth? This is really intriguing to me. When God's Spirit was unleashed, before Acts chapter 2, when the Spirit was released, this is really fascinating to me. How many of you think that women and children matter? Okay, I'll assume that the rest of you don't. Before the Spirit came to planet Earth, in the scriptures, when something happened with a crowd, the numbers that were recorded were just the men. On that day, Jesus, John chapter 6, fed 5,000 men and their wives and children too. But the 5,000 were the men because in that culture, women and children were less than. Do you know when the Spirit of God came? And the rest of scriptures from Acts chapter 2 on, every time there's a crowd and numbers are counted, it includes women and children. Because the Spirit wants to do something about equality. And the Spirit wants to speak into the value of all people. And I'm wondering if some of you in here have just seen the crap that's been going on in America these days and something rising up in you and said, this isn't right that people are being treated this way. I think it's because the Spirit of God is within you. How many of you have ever just had a thought, man, I just feel like I got to do that? Have you ever felt that? I think it's the Spirit within you. Now, the notion of the Spirit is often scary to some in the church. If you're new to the church, you don't have any concept of this being scary, but some really stupid things have been done in the name of the Holy Spirit. Unfortunately, people like me and leadership have done really just damaging stuff because there's been a misapplication to the work of the Spirit. And just the Spirit usage by Christians has at times been stupid. When I was 16, just got my driver's license, driving my red 1971 International Harvester Scout, I got in an accident. And in that moment, I decided to never drive again because I got in an accident. It's true. When I was 20, I slipped on the ice and cracked my elbow. Very painful. Ever since then, I decided to not have ice in my drinks anymore because ice is bad. It's dangerous. You got to avoid such things that have gone awry. Freza and I, the other bald pastor on stage, eight years ago, we went and saw a movie, I think it's called King Arthur, about the story of King Arthur. I was so hopeful, excited. It was such a bad movie, he and I looked at each other, we got up and we left. Never been to a movie since because it was bad. I think I can tell you this one. Back in 1994, when I was serving as an intern at Mason County Reformed Church, tried to do something a little different and creative in the teaching, and it wasn't what she was used to. She came up to me after the church, poked me in the chest, and said, because of you, the church is going to hell. So I've hated old women ever since. Now, wouldn't it be silly? Because I had a bad experience, I never drove again, never had ice in my drink, never saw a movie, and never enjoyed the company of older women. In a platonic way. It's the third time today. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to tell you that just because you might have had a bad experience with the Holy Spirit doesn't mean you need to throw that baby out with the bathwater. Because when Jesus came, he didn't come that we might have ho-hum, just getting by lives. He came that we might have powerful, thriving lives that brings the kingdom with us wherever we go. And so the anointing of the Holy Spirit is yours to tap into.
Well, how do I get more?
You know, I got this lamp. It's this new lamp. It doesn't work, though. Watch. Hang on. Work. My lamp's not working. You're telling me, what happens if I plug it in? Now, I hope this light bulb didn't just break. So you're telling me if I plug it in, oh my goodness, look at that. Jesus came to baptize with the Holy Spirit. But sometimes we live our Christian lives as Christians, unplugged. And just as the kids were yelling at me, you got to get plugged in. I'm telling you, if you want more power, if you want more of that baptism of the Spirit, get plugged in. And here's how you get plugged in. I'll make it simple. In Acts chapter 1, I already told you, they waited. And then in Acts chapter 2, they went. To get plugged in so that you might have more power in the Spirit, because Kalamazoo and beyond needs you to be powerful in the Spirit. See, when the Spirit comes, it makes you better. That's the fruit of the Spirit. And when the Spirit comes, it blesses others through you. That's the gifts of the Spirit. The world needs you to get plugged into the Spirit so that you have power. So wait, like they did. And then they went. That is to say, they put themselves in a place, just put themselves in a place for the Spirit to work in them. And if we're always busy going, I got to get to that next thing. Move, now this. We're not waiting. And when we don't wait, we're not plugged in. So make time every day to be still. And then as they went, that's simply saying they were obedient. When you get plugged in, you're going to feel a nudge to do something that might be strange. Do the strange thing. Walk it out in obedience, even though it might seem weird. My friend was telling me a story yesterday. Esto, he was driving into a grocery store, stopped, saw a guy right over here, and he felt the Spirit, said, you got to go pray for that guy. Now, that's odd, right? So he did. What do you think he did? He ignored it and left. But later, he was driving down the road and drove by the car wash, and that guy was out there washing his car, and the Spirit said, go pray for that guy. So he turned his car around, and he had been plugged in. He had been waiting and listening for the Lord, but then he had to go and do what it said. So he went back and he pulled up along that side. He goes, hey, were you at the store today? And the guy's like, hey, I don't know you. The Lord just told me I needed to pray for you. And he prayed for the dude, and it was a beautiful encounter, and the guy was touched and blessed deeply. Another friend of mine was telling a story how she was in the salon getting her hair done. I felt like she was taunting me, but I got over that. And while she's sitting there getting her hair done, she heard a lady over here just complaining to her beautician. And I guess that happens a lot, right? I wouldn't know. And the Spirit of the Lord said, pray for her. And so as that woman left and my friend left, she went out and said, hey, I heard you. Can I just pray for you? And the woman who was prayed for was blessed and touched. And then I heard this one yesterday. A friend of a friend was at work and her coworker was sharing just struggles in her marriage. And the friend of the friend remembered the friend who is my friend that his marriage had been on the rocks due to some poor choices. And yet that friend, my friend, decided at the river to be videoed and share with his wife the story of redemption, of God bringing restoration to that which was broken. So the friend of a friend told her friend whose marriage was struggling, you know, I got a friend whose marriage was this, but God has redeemed it and brought it to reconciliation. Watch this video. At work, she felt prompted because she had been plugged in and been still. Now she had to walk out, which is what the Lord told her to do. And so she began to speak of this video of her friend's marriage being restored and actually told her friend to watch it while at work. And the friend of the friend of my friend gave her life to Jesus right there on the spot. Because somebody was baptized with the Spirit, was sitting in the presence of the Lord, and went when he said go. And power happened. So John the Baptist says that Jesus will baptize in the Holy Spirit. And I say, the Lord wants you to walk out the power of that baptism. Next week, we're still in the Gospel of John, still in chapter 1. Bring your notes. If you're a follower of Christ and this is your church home, don't forget your joy boxes. If you need prayer of any kind, prayer is powerful and effective. Our prayer team will be right up here. They'd love to pray for you. Have a good week. See you next week.
Thanks for listening. For more information, check us out online at theriver.info.